Last Sunday, we talked about repentance from the aspect of what sin is, how we think about sin, how we define it, how it affects us in our lives. And we're continuing in our sermon series that's leading up to revival. The main text for that is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where God told Solomon, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land." We've been taking that passage of Scripture piece by piece over the last several weeks, and we're going to continue doing that leading up to revival. And right now we're focusing on that passage and that phrase that talks about turning from our wicked ways. And the biblical word for that is repentance. Repent literally means to turn away from one thing and turn towards another. And when we talk about sin or the wicked ways, the wickedness that is in our life, that thing that causes us to walk away from God instead of towards God, we're talking about the need to repent and get on the right road and get on the right track. So we're going to think about that today. Last week we talked about the idea of changing the way we think about sin. And today I want us to focus on another aspect of repentance. And that is this: changing the way I talk. Changing the way I talk. John Wesley, maybe you've heard of him at some point in your life, is quoted as saying this. He said, "I think you know that I love you, and that I should rejoice to do anything for you that is in my power. And one allowed proof of love is plain dealing. Therefore, I will speak to you without any reserve." I will speak to you without any reserve. Today's sermon might not be the one you want to hear, but I'll do my best to make it the one that you really need to hear, because this is something that's very... What you're going to hear today is scriptural, but I'm just going to tell you right now, as your pastor, if there's a pet peeve that I have, if there's something that really gets under my skin, this is it. The way we talk. Our words are very important. How we use them are very important. And I just want to let you know that I don't have a lot of tolerance for things like gossip and slander, and we're going to look at that in a little while. Why is that? Because I've seen what it does to people. I've experienced what it does to people. Our words cut like a knife, and they scar just as badly. And I just want us to think over the next few minutes together about how important the words that we say are and the way that we say them, and some of the problems that we have in today's society and even in the church, and sometimes especially in the church, to be quite honest with you. Sometimes the church is the worst place for this, because we always seem to have ways to justify what we're doing. So I want you to turn, I'd like to ask you to turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is where we're going to be spending most of our time today. We're also going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 a little bit, so if you want to mark that in your Bible for a little bit later. I want us to look and see what James has to say about the importance of our words and how we use them. James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways, and if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. All are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. God, this is your word, and I just pray that you would help me as I form and choose words to present this message today. May it be truthful, scriptural, and may it bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess maybe I should just ask a question. How many of us have ever been hurt by something someone said? You can be honest. I guess before I go any further with this, I just need to do this. I need a volunteer. Come on up. It's not going to hurt. I promise, it's not going to hurt. I'm going to hold this little piece of cardboard. What is this? Toothpaste. That's toothpaste. So we're going to use this just as a little illustration. I want you to take that tube of toothpaste, would you? Now, I want you to squeeze some of that toothpaste out on here. Whoa, stop. You're one of those. You don't squeeze from the middle. Dude, go back here. That's better, thanks. All right, that's enough. No, you stay right here because you're not done yet. You see where it is, right? It's right here on the cardboard. He did great. He did, other than squeezing it from the middle of the tube. But he did all right. That was the easy part. Now, you take that. I'm going to hold this. I want you to put the toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do that? Okay. All right. Thank you. You can go sit down. You did a great job. He can't. Maybe there's an adult here that can. Ken, can you help me out for a minute? Maybe we need an adult. Can you help me get that back in the tube? You don't think we can? Because once it's out of the tube, it's out, right? You know it's the same way with the words that we say? Once they come out, they're out. Once they've been spoken, there's no putting them back. Now, we can say, oh, I'm sorry, I take it back. And we can apologize, and we should apologize. But let me tell you something. The damage has already been done. It's out there. And no matter how hard I try, I can't put that toothpaste back in that tube. Words have an incredible impact on our lives and the lives of other people. And we need to choose very carefully what we say. And I want us to look at some different things about what the Bible tells us about how we choose our words. James chapter 3 gives us some what I call plain talk about how we talk. And I want us to think about what he has to say. It gives us some warnings regarding the tongue, some cautions that we need to be careful of. The message that God has for us today deals with three of these warnings. And the first warning is this. Here's one of the things. What's the problem? There's a problem with the tongue. Now, we need it to communicate. It has a function. It's a part of our body for the reason. It's a very important part of our body. It has a role. It has a function, and we're supposed to use it. But as everything else, we're supposed to use it in the right way, in a way that glorifies and honors God. But here are some of the problems that we find with the tongue if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, we see this problem. It has a problem of pride. Verse 5 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Have you ever heard someone boast or brag? I've heard someone boast and brag. I've been guilty of it. I'll just tell you, if you've known me very long, I know we've not been here that long, but if you've been around us much, if you've heard me preach much, you already know that I use a lot of illustrations about myself, not other people, because other people don't make up my illustrations. I have enough weird, crazy, funny stuff that's happened in my life to tell stories about. I don't have to worry about picking on somebody else. But I've dealt with this. I've had to deal with this in my life. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves being very prideful, and our pride that resides on the inside of us is going to come out when it has an opportunity. And one of the ways that we show pride and that we boast is through the words that we say and how we use them. So it makes great boast, or it boasts wildly, one translation says. Those people who are in the crowd, and every time you're having a conversation, somehow or another the conversation always turns back to be about them. That self-centered pride is one of the things that we have to deal with, and it's one of the things we have to be very careful with when we're dealing with the tongue and the words that we speak. But see, I want you to notice how these things build on one another. Not only is there a problem of pride and it makes wild boast, it also says that one of the problems is that it's a flame of fire. The tongue is a flame of fire. How much spark does it take to set an actual fire? Especially if it's dry? Not much, does it? Have you ever been burning something and all of a sudden something was burning that you didn't mean to burn? That's not very good. I've had that happen too. But we won't go into that. I was coming home from school one day. I was on the school bus, and we lived south of town, out in the country, and I noticed a great cloud of smoke coming from the direction we were headed on the bus, headed home after school. And the closer we got to my house, the bigger the smoke got, the bigger the cloud of smoke was. Well, when the school bus got to my house and I got off, there were fire trucks and stuff parked in my driveway. Now, my house wasn't on fire, and our property wasn't on fire, but there was a fire in the brush right behind our property, and the firemen were at our house to try to help protect it and make sure if the fire got there that they could still save the house and the property. Well, what had happened was a couple miles down the road, there was a farmer who was burning off a field. Very common. It wasn't anything wrong with it. It's a very common thing. Just happened to be a little bit windy that day. And the fire got out of control. Well, my dad and some of the other guys noticed the fire, and they went down, and they were talking to the farmer that was burning off a field, and they were trying to help figure out ways to put it out. And my dad was watching. There was a county road. It was a gravel road that went through that area, and there was a county road. And my dad said, if that fire jumps that road, we're in trouble. And sure enough, a wind gust came up and it blew enough of a spark across that road that it started to fire in those trees and in that brush line. And my dad and some other guys went and started getting their heavy equipment out and bulldozers and all kinds of different things. And they worked for hours and hours trying to get that fire put out and save people's houses and property. Now, they were able to do that. The fire got put out. No houses were lost. No property was lost. No one was hurt or injured. But that great big fire started from one little spark. And the Bible says our tongue is like that. That it is itself a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. So not only is it a flame of fire, but it says the tongue is a world of evil. A world of evil. And then it goes on to say something that is very interesting. It says it corrupts or contaminates the entire person. The whole person. So it's not just that one little part of the body, but that one little part of the body has an incredibly large effect over every part of our life. Over every part of our life. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire. And then it goes on to say that it is itself set on fire by hell. This is exactly why I said If it's not controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit, then the tongue is very evil. The tongue is unruly. The tongue is very dangerous and damaging because we use words and phrases that are not ordained of the Holy Spirit and blessed by God if we're not careful. It's a restless evil, and it's full of deadly poison. Deadly poison. I grew up in a part of Missouri where there were several different types of poisonous snakes. And we were always very careful when we kind of tried to learn to recognize which snakes were good and which snakes were bad. My dad didn't think there was a difference. My dad's motto was, the only good snake's a dead snake. And he made sure that every snake he saw, if he had anything to say about it, ended up on the dead side. We liked to kind of play with them a little. If they were a little garter snake or something, we kind of like to play with them. But we learned not to take them home where my dad could see them because they didn't live very long. But full of deadly poison. The tongue. What kind of poisons are we talking about? What does that mean? Deadly poison. Well, let's look at some of the poisons that the tongue can spread. Let's look at some of those poisons of the tongue. Number one, if you see on your outline there, you have it in your bulletin. We're going to turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 now for a little bit because it talks about a lot of these. The first one is this. The first poison is lying, being dishonest. With the tongue, we tell things that are not true. Whether they be trying to get ourselves out of trouble, maybe trying to get someone else into trouble, I don't know. But lying is one of the poisons of the tongue. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. It says, therefore, after you have gotten rid of lying, each of you must tell the truth to your neighbor because we are parts of each other in the same body. We are parts of each other in the same body. So we must get rid of lying, and then, not only that, but then we have to start telling the truth to our neighbor because as Christians, we're all part of the same body. We're all part of the same organization. And if one of us is doing something that's damaging to the body, then the entire body is hurt because of it. If I drop something on my foot and I hurt my foot, well, it's just my foot that's hurt, but it affects the rest of me as well. And that's the way it is when we talk. So Paul was talking to the people in the church in Ephesus here, and it says we have to get rid of lying. Be honest. Stop saying things that are not true. It's wrong. It's a sin. And see, that's the thing. Here's the thing that we, somehow or another, a lot of other things in life, we can call it for what it is. But when it comes to our words and how we use them, a lot of times we have some kind of justification for it. Let's just call it what it is. Lying is being untruthful, it's being dishonest, and it's a sin. It's wrong. So let's just not do it. But then there's another type of poison in addition to lying, and that's what we call gossip. Well, what is gossip? Well, the dictionary definition is this. It's rumor or talk of a personal, sensational, or intimate nature. Also described as a person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumors or facts. People say, well, I'm not gossiping because what I'm saying is true. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a lie to be gossip. If we're gossiping, it means we're talking about something, saying something about someone else that probably just doesn't need to be said, whether it's true or not. Can I give you just a little bit of a hint here? Everything you know doesn't need to be said out loud. Everything you think you know doesn't need to be said out loud. Every thought that comes into your mind doesn't need to be spoken through your mouth. So let's learn to differentiate between what needs to be said and what doesn't. So what's Scripture have to say about gossip? Well, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 12 and 13 says, "A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret." A trustworthy man keeps a secret, but a gossip betrays a confidence. If you come to me as a friend, as a pastor, or whatever, if you come to me and say, "Man, Francis, I need to talk to you about something, but I need it to stay just between us." And I agree to that. Well, after you tell me whatever's going on in your life, I better keep it to myself, because if I don't, if I go tell Dan about it, what am I doing? I'm breaking a confidence. Doesn't matter whether it's a lie. We're not talking about lying. We're talking about something that you trust me with and say, "I'm trusting you to keep this confidential," and I go and tell someone else about it, I've just become a gossip. And I've broken the confidence that someone put in me by telling someone else what you said. This is serious stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and especially when we're dealing with situations in the church, in our personal lives, in our family lives. I had someone text me or left me a voicemail a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about this physical ailment that they had. I texted them back. I said, "I'll certainly be praying for you. Do you want us to activate the prayer chain or anything like that?" "No, I'd rather not." "Great, fine." Because you know what? I'm kind of private about that kind of stuff myself. I don't want to betray someone else's privacy or confidence just because I think someone else needs to know something. And quite frankly, if we're not careful, our prayer request lines sometimes can become some of the biggest gossip sessions that we can ever have. Because there's always someone who decides they need to add a little bit extra information. So we need to be very careful about what we're doing. Remember, it's a person who spreads intimate or private rumors or facts. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Be people of your word. And let's not go talking to other people about everything that we know or think we know. Proverbs 18:18 says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. You say, "My words aren't that important. They just need to get over it." You ever heard that phrase, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me"? That's one of the biggest lies I've ever heard, and it comes straight from the father of all lies. Satan will tell us that. Your words aren't going to hurt anybody. You can say whatever you want. It's not true. Our words do hurt people. Our words tell who we are in character. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "A gossip betrays confidence," once again. So avoid a man who talks too much. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says, "Without wood, a fire goes out. So without gossip, a quarrel dies down." You ever seen that person who just has to keep things going? We call it stirring the pot. There's that one person. You know, a lot of problems just go away if we just ignore it. All this stuff that's going on in professional sports right now would probably just go away if a lot of people would just ignore it instead of plastering everything on social media. But no, we all think we have to chime in with our 2 cents worth. And what I have to say about it is probably not even worth 2 cents, so I just stay out of it. Gossip. Then there's another form of speech that is poison as well. It takes things even a little further, and it's called slander. It's not the same as gossip. Slander takes it to the next level. It's the utterance of defamatory statements that are injurious to the reputation or well-being of another person. A malicious statement or report. When you say or write or text or tweet or put on Facebook or email something that is damaging to another person's reputation or character, you're guilty of slander. And the Bible tells me that slander is sin. You see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Slander should not be an acceptable form of speech among the body of believers. If I'm saying something in any way, shape, manner, or form, whether it's spoken out of my mouth or typed behind a keyboard or on a phone or on Facebook or anywhere else, if I'm saying something that is damaging to the character and reputation of someone else, I need to stop because it's not right. The next level is unwholesome talk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let. You know what that says? That means I have a choice. Starts that verse off, do not let. It means I have a choice. I control what I say or don't say. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 goes on to say, obscene language, silly talk, or vulgar jokes aren't acceptable for believers. Instead, there should be thanksgiving. The locker room talk. The talk around the water cooler or the coffee pot at work or at school or wherever it might be. The jokes that are made about other people, whether they're obscene or foolish, profane, using bad language, all that kind of stuff. There's no place for that in the life of the believing Christian. Are you happy with me yet? Here's the next form. Hypocrisy or double talk. Saying one thing but then doing something else. Blessing God and cursing others made in God's likeness, the Bible tells us. It's the ultimate hypocrisy. As this passage says, brothers and sisters, it just shouldn't be this way. That time when we're maybe sitting by ourselves, you know, we're sitting talking with one other person about someone else, and that person walks in, oh my goodness, how you doing? You know, the whole conversation changes. All of these and plenty more that we haven't talked about. You know, the Bible even talks about busybodies, idle talk, saying things they ought not say. Timothy talks about. All of these and plenty more are poisons of the tongue. Well, what do I do about it? And there are three choices I see when it comes to these poisons of the tongue. First, I can engage with others in it, meaning I join in and take part. What do you do when you hear someone talking about someone else or talking about a situation? What do you do? Do I join in and become a part of it? I can engage it and take active part in. I can enable those who are doing it, meaning I listen to it and allow myself to be someone else's garbage dumpster. You say, well, I'm not taking part. I'm not saying anything. I'm not adding to it. Are you doing anything about it? So I can engage in it. I can enable people who are doing it by listening and kind of being a part of it that way, or I can end it. I can end it by choosing either not to take part or not to listen to it. You know what? There might come a time and a place when, whether it's at church or work or school or wherever else, and you hear friends or neighbors or coworkers talking about someone, you just need to say, look, I'm not going to be a part of this. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to be a part of saying things that are damaging to someone else. You don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be harsh with them. There might even come a time when you need to look at them and say, you know, would you be saying that to that person if they were in the room instead of talking about them while they're not here? Would I say the same thing to someone's face that I'm saying about them when they're not there? It's a pretty good test. Engage in it, enable it, or we can end it. I can remove myself from the situation. I can't necessarily stop everyone else from doing it, but I can make sure that I'm not taking part in it. Then there's the power of the tongue. We can use it for evil by tearing other people down. We can use it for good by building other people up. It's our choice. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up. How do we choose what we say? How do we use our words and our tongue? You see, here's one of the scary things. You say, well, Pastor, I know the Bible talks about a lot of that stuff because I'm reading you scripture. I mean, you can't really, I don't know, maybe some people don't like the way I present it, but it's biblical. But I want us to see what the Gospel of Matthew even says about it. So see, our words and our tongue can either justify us or condemn us. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37, I want you to think about these words. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil that's stored up inside of him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted. And what's that mean? Not guilty. By my words, I can either be found not guilty or I can be condemned, is what the scripture tells me. You see, words mean something. What we say means something. It can be for the good of others or it can be for the bad of others. We need to be careful about what we say and how we say it. Because not only does it affect other people, but according to what I just read in Matthew chapter 12, it can affect my own eternal destiny. I will have to give. I put my name in here. I tell you that Francis will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word he has spoken. You see, this is how we need to, this is kind of how we need to read the Bible. Make it a little bit personal. That's what I do. I try to do. What's it saying to me? I'm not here to try to condemn you. I'm just here sharing with you some things that God has shown me are very important. Because, you know, I've seen what this stuff does to families. I've seen what it does to relationships. I've seen what it does to churches. I've seen numerous people leave churches because of email that one or two people sent. Once it's out there, there's no putting it back. So let's be careful, very careful, about our words, about our tongue, about how we say things and what we say. Part of repentance in my life is changing the way I talk, changing the words that I use. And the only way we do that is by allowing God to change our hearts. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I don't know if there's anything in your life this morning that God has spoken to you about. I'm just preaching to you what God needs me to preach. But I do want us to be careful. Because we don't want to be hurt by someone else's words, and we certainly don't want to hurt someone else by what we say. So let's just take a minute right where you are. Bow our heads and just ask God to search our own hearts. Maybe God is showing us something, bringing something to our mind that we need to do differently, that we need to say differently. Maybe there's something I've said to someone that was hurtful or offensive, and I need to go personally repent and ask that person to forgive me for what I said and the damage that it caused. Father, today, we just ask that you would have your way. We ask, Father, that you would search our hearts and show us anything that might be offensive, that might be against your will. Maybe we've hurt someone. Maybe we've damaged someone by what we've said. Father, I pray that you would make that clear to us so that we can make it right. We don't want anything to stand between us and our relationship with you. We don't want anything in our own hearts and lives to hinder revival at the personal level or at the church level. So God, I just pray that you would help us by showing us what needs to change in our lives and then helping us and providing us with the power and the ability to allow you to make those changes. God, help us to be the people you want us to be. In the thoughts that we think, in the words that we speak, and in the actions that we take. We thank you, we love you, and we give you praise. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If there are some of you who could help with the setup in the back for the movie tonight, it should take just a few minutes to do that. But God bless you. Thank you for being here today.